Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak and Shalom. We're now on Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, taking a look today at the third and fourth Mishnayot in the 10th Perek about writing a shtar in absentia of one of the parties. So Mishnah Gimel will deal with those shtarot that can be written by only one party. Kodvin get la'ish al pisha inishto imo. A sofer may write a get on behalf of a husband who's divorcing his wife, even though the wife's not there. Vashover la isha. He can also write a receipt on behalf of the woman, al pishein bala ima, even though the husband's not there, or shavar for the ketubah. Ovad sheim akiran. As long as he is familiar, knows the names of the people, in the shtar. Vabal notain sachar. The second thing is the husband has to pay for the writing of the shtar. Kotvin shtar la lovev al pishein malveimo. You can write a shtar for a lovev who's borrowing money, even though the lender's not there. But you can't write it, obviously, on behalf of a lender without the borrower being there to make sure that the borrower is really borrowing the money. The love has to pay for the shtar. This is the third. That a seller can commission a shtar to be written even though the buyer is not there. And again, it's fairly obvious. You cannot write a shtar on behalf of a buyer if the seller is not present. And the buyer, obviously, is the one who's gaining, pays for the shtar. Now, this next Mishnah deals with those shtarot that need both parties to be there. Ein kotvin shitrei erusin v'nisuin. These are what we would call tnoim and ketubah. Elamidat shnehem. You need both of them there, or at least both of them commissioned. V'chatan noten sachar. The chatan has to pay for the shtar in both cases. This is a shtar in which a landowner agrees with someone to become a sharecropper or a leaseback holder. You need them both there. And the sharecropper, the fellow who's getting the deal, has to pay for the shtar. There's a machlok about what shitre berurin here means. We'll see that in the Gemara. They both have to chip in and pay. Says, in this case, there are two shtarot written. Each guy pays for his own shtar, so that each one holds his own shtar. We'll see why. Okay, what does it mean when the Mishnah said that the sofer has to know both the husband and wife, even though he's writing the shtar, the get, with only the husband there, or the shofar, even though the wife is only there? He says all he has to know is the name of the person who's commissioning him. So if the man says, write a get for him, and he says his name, and puts it on the, and says in the shtar, as long as the fellow knows that that's really that guy, then that's enough. And the same thing with the isha and the shofar. Yativ Rav Safra of Acha Barchina, Barhuna Vrav Huna Barchina, Yativ Abai Gabayu. Abayu was sitting with them. They asked the question. Shema ish beget in. Shema isha lo. You only have to know, as was reported in Rab's name, the name of the man in the get. You don't often have to know the name of the woman. And flip it. Shema isha b'shovar in. Shema ish lo. You only have to know the name of the woman in the shovar, and not the name of the man. V'lechush dilma katav gita. Why aren't we concerned that this guy's writing a get? And he's waiting for the other fellow's wife to come around, and he wants to either mess up their life or he wants to marry her or something, and so he wants to present the notion as if she's divorced. And he will give it to this other fellow's wife, and the sofer didn't know the name of the woman in the shofar, and you said that wasn't that in the get, and you said that wasn't important. And vice versa. Zimna nazla katfa isha shofar, a woman could write a shofar, and you don't know the name of the man, and you said that's enough. Viyatva the gavad lav dilan, she'll go give it to a man who's not hers, and then that man, they'll make a deal, and that man will then be able to claim that he's already paid his ketubah because he has the shofar. So Abaye turned around and said, Hachi Amarav, the report was wrong. What Rav really said was, Shema ish beget v'adin she'le shema isha. The sofer has to know the name of the man on the get and also the name of the woman. Shema isha v'shovar v'adin le shema ish. And he also has to know both of them on the shovar. Now, we have another problem. V'lechush to shnei Yosef ben Shimon adoyim bir achat. Why aren't we concerned that there are two guys with the same name in the same city? Dilmakat, which is not all that uncommon. Dilmakativ Gita va'azul mamtele le'itata de'ach. So the sofer knows the name of the man. He also knows the name of the woman, but doesn't know that that's necessarily this guy's wife. And he goes and gives it to another woman. So Amra lehu Rav Acha Barhuna, Hachi Amar Rav, Rav said, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon ha'doim bi'irachat, as we saw in Kitten, Ein regashin nashotem elezev b'nei zeh. If you have two men with the same name in the same city, they can only divorce their wives in each other's presence. To avoid this kind of problem, where one man ends up divorcing another man's wife and totally wrecking their lives. V'lechush dilma azal amata achrita u'machzik lei lishmei b'Yosef ben Shimon. Why aren't we concerned that he might come to another town and identify himself with this other name? That's not really his name. V'chativ gita, and they'll write a get for him. U'mamta li'ita de'ach, then he'll come back to his town, and his name really isn't Yosef ben Shimon, it's something else. But he'll go to another town, assume another identity, and then they'll write a get for him. He'll bring it back to his town, and he'll give it to this other woman. Ravuna Barchina Amcham Rav. So Rav had another halacha. Kol Shulzak Shmo Beir Shloshim Yom Ein Choshin Lo. Once somebody's been there for 30 days, and we all know him by that name, we have to assume it's really his name. So Lo Itchazik Mai. What if we don't have 30 days? What if he comes to town and after a week he requests to get? Do we tell him to wait? Rabaye the Karule Uva Ani. If you call him by that name and he instinctively turns around, then we can assume it really is his name. Zvina Marno Rama Abarama Uta Yizahir. If a guy is deceptive, which is the assumption here, then he's very careful about his deception, which means he'll know how to turn around, which means he'll know how to respond to his name, even within a week, his made-up name. And therefore, we have to say, until you're 30 days, we're not going to write any star for you, we don't know who you are. Now, there's a story. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba's name was signed on a shofar. And the woman with the who claimed that the shofar was a forgery, came to Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. Amrelei lav ana havei. She said that's not my name on there. I mean, it was signed in my name, but I didn't get any money. Amar ananami amri lahu lav ihihi. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba said, I also told him that that's not you. Va'amrelei mekashu dekasha le la ubaga lakala. And then they told me that since I signed that star, your name, your voice has gotten deeper because you've gotten older. So the question is, what do we do when Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba first testified and said that that woman's not the same woman who's on the shofar? And now he said, now that I understand that your voice deepened, I recognize that it's you. Rabbi Afagav da Amar Rabbanan, even though the Rabbanan said, Kevan Shigid Shuvena Chuzar Magid, you can't recant testimony. So Rabbanan lav orche lemeidak. It's not the derech of a Talmid Chacham to be such an expert in a woman's voice. And therefore, it's possible that she was really the same woman. Her voice got deeper. He thought she was somebody else and said she's not the same woman. And then when he was pointed out to him that she'd grown up and her voice had gotten deeper, he recognized it and said, yes, it is, and we accept the recanted testimony, the new version. Hahu gavra, hahu tavra, tavichatim alei Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. And again, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba signed on a shofar. Amrelei lav ana havei. The woman said, I'm not the woman on there. Amrala ibra antu havat. He said, yes, you are. Amrabai afagav tzor rabbanan lav orcha lemeidak. Even though normally we say a Talmid Chacham isn't such an expert in who a woman is, came to dak. But if he says, I know who you are, then we believe him. That is, normally we say, it could be the Talmid Chacham is not paying such close attention to the identity of a woman and to her specific features and voice, etc. But if he says, I know who you are, then we accept it. Rabbi then drew a conclusion about a Talmid Chacham getting married. When he goes to be Mekadesh a woman, Nidbar Amaretz Padei, should take a commoner with him, somebody who's more familiar with women. Dim Machlfula Mine, maybe they'll switch her, and he's so innocent and ignorant about what women are like, he won't know. And so he should take, a grub person who has more familiarity with women, and he was told that she's tall, she's blonde, she's whatever, and he'll recognize. Okay, we said in that Mishnah that Habal Noten Sachar, the husband has to pay the sofer for writing the get. So my time, the pasuk about a get says the husband writes it and he gives it. So you see that he has to write it. But already by the times of the Gemara, the custom was to have the woman pay for it. They put the fee on the woman. So the husband doesn't delay giving the get. Because the husband could say, I don't have the money yet, and then she'll be an aguna, so she'll pay for it, and then therefore it'll get done quickly. Kotvin shtar lelo valbisha in malve imo. Okay, so we said that we write the shtar for a debt, even though the lender's not there, but the borrower has to pay for the shtar. So pshitetz obviously has to pay. So lo tzricha beiska. We could be talking about an iska where the lender gives him money and half it is an investment. You might think in that case, because the lender is going to gain from this, that this is what we call a heter iska, that he would have to at least share the cost of writing the shtar. The answer is no, that the lova always pays. And again, the vechule that's in our Gemara tells us that we're referring to the end of that line, which is that the buyer has to pay for the shtar. So pshita, that's obvious. We're talking about a case where a fellow sells his field because it's very, very bad. In other words, he really wants to get rid of the field. You might think that he should at least have to pay for half the shtar or pay for all the shtar. The answer is lokeach always pays. And now, the second Mishnah, Enkel Vin Shitre Erusin, that you need both of them there, and the Chatan has to pay for it. So Pshita, obviously the Chatan, he's the one who's getting married, he has to pay for the Shtar. So Tzuichat Afilo Tzumarabon, even if we're talking about a Tamar Chacham, who's the Chatan, the Nechale Lechamua Lekruve, the father-in-law is very happy to have him in the family, and might want to be the one to pay, to bring him close in. The answer is the Chatan always pays. Eko Dvin Shtar Arisudu Kablanut, except if they're both there, and the Kablan has to pay. So Pshita, Lo Tzuicha Beborea, we're talking about a case where the Kablan comes into the field, and for the first year or two, he has to let it lie fallow because of the field, and he's not going to get any benefit for a few years. You might think that the owner has to at least share in the cost of the shtar. The answer is he doesn't. The last thing in the Mishnah was, Ein Kotvin Shitrei Berurin Ela Midat Shneihem. My Shitrei Berurin, so I mentioned in the Mishnah, it's a machloket about what Shitrei Berurin is. Hacha Targimu, here in Bavel, they explain that Shitrei Berurin is Shitrei Tanata, the shtarot that have the ta'anot, a record of the ta'anot that each person presented in their claim. If you remember Abba Amar, but in Eretz Yisrael, if you remember Abba said, Zeb Borer Lo Echad, V'Zeb Borer Lo Echad. It's talking about the Mishnah in the third parak of Sanhedrin, which we refer to as Zabla, which is when two parties agree on having a particular person serve as their judge. So one guy puts up his judge, and the two of the judges then agree on a third judge, and that's okay for Dine Momonot. So having a record of who they chose, that's called Shitrei Berurin. Okay, Rishon Gamliel Omer L'Shtem Kotvin Shtayim. Rishon Gamliel dissented, if you recall in the Mishnah, and said that in Shitrei Berurin, in Maaseh Beit Din, we write one for each party, and for each guy pays for his own. Now, Lema V'Kofin Amidat Stom L'Kami Palgi, perhaps the Machlok Rishon Gamliel is whether kofin al midat stom, because a person could say if I'm going to be holding the get, if you're going to be holding the get, then you have to pay for the whole thing, even though we both gain. And midat stom, of course, is zen and nevez alo chaser. Demar savar kofin. Tanakama says kofin. Umar savar in kofin. Rishon Gamliel would say no, you can't force that. You can't force someone to pay for a get. He's not going to hold. Lo, the chulei alma kofin. Everybody agrees that we force mina against minat stom. Hacha, hinu taimer, which Rishon Gamliel. Why does Rishon Gamliel say that you write separate gitin? Damer le lo nechale de dabe schutach gabe schuti. I don't want you holding on to a record of my schuyot. I don't want you holding, especially in Shitrei Tanata, I don't want you having you be the one who's holding on to the record of my arguments in the case. The damit aloi ki arya arba. You're like a crouching lion waiting to hurt me. And so therefore, he says very simply, in a case like this, we want each person to have his own record. Okay, the next Mishnah, Hey, Misha para miktzat chovo, vishlishet shtaro, v'yamarlo, imlo etain, lachamikan v'ad yom ploni, ten lo shtaro. A fellow borrowed money, and he paid some of it. And what they did is an agreement, is they, instead of writing a new shtar, they put the shtar in escrow, with a third person. And the borrower said to the middleman, if I don't pay the debt by a certain date, then you give him back the shtar, which means he'll be able to collect the entire debt. Higiyazman velonatan, let's say that time comes. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yiten. Rabbi Yossi says, go ahead and give it to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yiten. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So, Maikam Impalgi, what's the machloket? And this is something we'll get to at the very end of the Masechet again. Rabbi Yossi says an asmachta, which in this case what an asmachta means, is when you make an agreement which you never intend to keep, and you're making it just as a way of demonstrating your absolute commitment to something. So here he's saying, I'm absolutely committed to paying it back, so much so that if I don't, you can give him the shtar back. Rabbi Yossi says that's a good kinyan. Rabbi Yehuda savar asmachta lo kanya. Rabbi Yehuda says asmachta lo kanya. And therefore, his statement can't be taken seriously, and therefore we don't give the shtar back to the malveh. Nachman Aravu Amarav Halacha Kerbiosi said the Halacha is Kerbiosi Asmachta Kanya. Ki Atu the Kamid Rabbi Yami, they came to Rabbi Yami with a case like this. Amalehu Chimeachar Rabbi Yochanan Melamdenu Pam Rishna Ushni Halacha Kerbiosi Ani Ma'ase. What can I do? Rabbi Yochanan several times taught us that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. But what does the Gemara end up saying? Ain't Halacha Rabbi Yosi. The Halacha is Rabbi Yehuda Asmachta Lo Kanya. And with that, we will conclude. We'll pick it up with Mishnah Vav, or the beginning of Mishnah Vav, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.